Unless otherwise indicated, Ratchet Book Club is intended for a mature audience. Viewer discretion is greatly advised. Welcome to Ratchet Book Club, where we read hood classics and good classics. I'm Derek. 916-633-1537, ratchetandratchet@gmail.com, Ratchet Book Club on Twitter, Ratchet Book Club on Facebook. Southeast, Washington, D.C., five-year pussy plan, Harmony Phillips. We had been in class for a minute, and already I was irritated. And fuck Woodson High School, fuck the student body staff and teachers. I'm all about getting mine, and school was blocking my style. That's why I told people it was my last day, even though they thought I was bullshitting. I was sitting between Constance and Tripp, two girls I kicked it with every now and again, when for real, all I wanted to do was get out of class, get a bottle of vodka, smoke, and fuck. But the clock was taking its sweet time to tick by. "Did y'all hear about that girl? The one who was kidnapped from school the other day?" Constance asked. "They said some dude took her when she went to the bathroom." "From where?" I asked, going through my MCM bag. "I think it was from Nolly Elementary." "Damn, how did he do that?" "I don't know, but they test for fingerprints now." Constance continued opening her book bag. "Y'all coming to my party, right?" Ebony asked, standing over the top of us when the bell rang for class to begin. "It's gonna be like that." I peeped the gold hoop earrings with the word princess in the middle she was wearing. My dad used to call me princess all the time, and they reminded me of him. "Nice earrings," I said. "Girl, my father gave them to me. I swear that man loves me to death." I felt a hollow emptiness in my stomach and tried to push it down. I didn't know what the feeling was. All I knew was that it hurt. Ebony lived in Northwest D.C. and shouldn't even been going to our school. But her cousin went here, and she was so pressed to be near her that she used her address. "Ebony, I realize you want to start your birthday early, but class has started, so please take a seat," the teacher said. A few people laughed and then eventually settled down. "Y'all going to Ebony's cookout this weekend?" Constance whispered. "She says she gonna have mad smoke there too." Constance was kinda cute, short and light-skinned with a lot of freckles on her face. She kept her hair slicked back with a rack of gel in it. She had big titties and a loud mouth to go with it. And because she couldn't talk low, she stayed getting us in trouble with the teachers at school. "If her party's anything like her party last year, you know I'm in there. And I ain't got no more money for no smoke either," Tripp laughed. "Please don't let Tripp be dark-skinned and broke." Tripp was average-looking, but she always knew where to score money for some smoke, which is why I kept her around. At the same time, she was also a backstabber, which is one reason I couldn't kick it with her all the time. Although she was only 17, she had a 3-year-old son by her boyfriend Paco named Evan. I had to give it to him, though. They made a cute baby together. "Y'all talking all that shit, knowing good and well Krayshawn not gonna let you go nowhere, Constance. And Paco would kill your ass if he caught you at another party, Tripp," I laughed. "So I don't even know why y'all faking." "Bitch, fuck Krayshawn. He just better keep that money rolling for we have some serious problems," Constance said. "Why you say that?" I asked. "Cause lately he been holding out, talking about he ain't got this and he ain't got that. At the end of the day, the money's all I give a fuck about." "Sure. Okay, and I got a feeling he cheating, and if he is, he may get smoked by the gun under my mother's bed." "She got a gun?" I asked. "Yep, and I know how to use it, too." "Yeah, right," she bragged. "A bitch with a gun is not to be fucked with." Constance and me gave each other five and looked to see if the teacher saw us. She didn't. Although I was feeling what she was saying, I also knew that she was in deep when it came to her feelings for Krayshawn. She just loved perpetrating the worst fraud in front of us. "Bitch, you ain't hurting no Krayshawn," Tripp said. "You so far up that nigga's ass, you can see his intestines." Fuck you. I'm all the way serious about that shit, Constance yelled as usual. I'm getting sick of Krayshawn's ass. And I'm sick of you interrupting my class, Miss Duncan said. Now, if I have to ask you to be quiet in my classroom again, I will send you to the principal's office. Do I make myself clear? When she turned around to refocus on the blackboard, I said, why you gotta be so hot all the time, Constance? Stay getting niggas late. Fuck her, she said a little lower, not doing a good job of whispering yet again. She's just a hating ass bitch. I shook my head and said, what y'all about to do when class let out? I scribbled some shit on the paper in front of me to pretend I was doing schoolwork when I wasn't. You ask us that same question every Friday, and every Friday you don't plan to do nothing with us till later on that night, Tripp said. You act like you want me to fuck you or something. Bitch, you know what I mean, Tripp continued. Why bother asking if we ain't gonna hook up? I be asking y'all what y'all doing for later. Just cause I don't get up with y'all right when we leave don't mean nothing. Well, I don't know about Tripp, but I'm going to my aunt's house to wait on Krayshawn. Why you gotta go to your aunt's house to wait on him? Because my mother don't want me being with him no more. Talking about he too old and shit. He ain't but 5 years older than me. I feel you. What you and Krayshawn gonna do when y'all get up? I continued. He's supposed to be giving me some money to buy some gear for the cookout tomorrow. You know I gotta look fresh, Constance said. But before I do any shopping, though, I gotta drop Brittany off a little dough to do something for me. Weird Brittany? I asked. When you start fucking with her? Even though I was the one Jace chose, whenever we would fight, like now, she'd stick her nose in our business. She's not too bad, she said. She just don't like a lot of people. But trust me, Brittany be having the dirt on everybody. What's she gonna do for you? Tripp continued. I'll tell you later, she said, holding back. I didn't care what she did with Brittany to tell you the truth, just as long as Brittany stayed out of my way. I think she was fucking my boyfriend, Jace, and she better hope I didn't catch her. How much Krayshawn giving you tonight? I asked. He said about 200, but I'm gonna see if I can get more from him, Constance bragged. Trust me when I say the wells have been dry lately. The nigga owe me big time tonight, though. At least you know where your money coming from, I added. Me and Jay still beefing. I can't tell y'all beefing. You stay with the fresh sneaks and gear. Like when you get them new Princess Reeboks, Tripp asked. I been had them. Bitch, you ain't been had them, Tripp said. Girl, yes I have. And Jay said he really cut me off this time, saying he tired of my split personality. He sound like a fool. Well, do you have a split personality? Constance added. I ain't no more moody than the rest of y'all bitches, I said. And some of y'all take moodiness to a whole nother level by backstabbing your friends. Like who? I don't know. You said you fuck with Brittany. How do I know you don't be telling her the shit I be telling you? Knowing she been wanting my man since day one. Cause I wouldn't do that. While she was lying, I tugged at the seat of my pants. I think somebody burned me. I was fucking on the side, but I didn't know who, and I didn't know what I had. Yeah, well, you better not, I warned her, because I got some shit on you, too. Wait, what? I think somebody I was fucking on the side burned me while she talking about Jace cheating. Okay. Yeah, well, you better not, I warned her, because I got some shit on you, too. I paused. I don't want y'all telling y'all boyfriends my business, either. They do work with Jace, you know. Girl, you already know I ain't telling Paco shit, Tripp said. And even if somebody did tell me your business, Jace is too blinded by you, girl. When I turned around to fake on my work some more, I saw Constance look at Tripp out the corner of my eye. Sneaky bitch. Bitches stay keeping up shit. When the bell rang, I jumped up and said my goodbyes. I was almost out the door until the teacher called me. Harmony, let me talk to you for a moment. I rolled my eyes, turned around and said, Miss Duncan, I really have to go. My ride is probably outside waiting on me right now. It'll only take a minute, Harmony, please. I stomped towards her desk, hoping she'd say never mind, but she didn't. I hear today's your last day in school. Is there any particular reason why? I'm not like the other kids in this school, Miss Duncan. Most of them come day after day, believing that education can get them far in life. But I know the truth. And what's that? That the only thing that matters in this world is dick and pussy. Damn. Like, her family fucked her up. She doesn't remember any of the things her dad told her because she was fucking 5 when that shit happened. All she remembers is the abuse and the stuff that these two pedophiles told her. Sheesh. I mean, she probably doesn't even remember her mom like that. You know, I don't know, like, bad memories, bad things, like really bad things, they do stick with you, like no matter what. But I don't know. I figured if I could be nasty as possible, she'd leave me alone. Her face frowned up and she said, "You don't think education's important?" I looked at this green bitch and said, "Fuck no." "Harmony, watch your language." "Wait, you mean before or after she said dick and pussy?" "Miss Duncan, this is me, and you wanted to talk to me, so I'm gonna give it to you how you need to have it. So here it is. If it ain't making me money or helping me bust a nut, then I don't need it. And that goes for your so-called education, too." How you expect to get money without the education? I mean, at least through high school. I mean, shit, something. "Harmony Phillips, I can't believe what I'm hearing coming out your mouth. What about the money education can make you in the long run?" "Fuck a long run. I need money now." "Harmony, if you don't have a proper education, you're in for a hard life." "A hard life? A hard life?" I laughed. "Let's see. My mother was killed in front of me. My father was murdered in prison. My grandmother and uncle have raped me for years at a time. And I have a drug dealer for a boyfriend." I paused. "So tell me, how much harder can life get for me?" I continued leaning on her desk. "How much harder, Miss Duncan?" "So nobody did nothing for her about her grandma and her uncle, huh? They just knew. In the neighborhood, they just knew what was going on and didn't nobody say shit." "That's fucked up." Silence. I didn't know. "How could you? You assume that education can save the world when it can't. But I'm smarter than you in some ways, because I know the truth. I needed someone to be there for me then, and they weren't. And now, I don't even know who I am anymore." I stood up straight and said, "Have a nice day." "Harmony, wait." I stopped. "Here, take my number. If you need someone to talk to, let it be me." "I'll take this. But it's too late for me, Miss Duncan. Do yourself a favor and go save someone else." After I finished with Miss Duncan, I bolted out of the building. I went 4 blocks up the street and opened the back door to an abandoned house I found 6 months back. It was my little getaway, and the only place I could go to escape from the world. I invited a few people over sometimes, but mainly it was all about me. Kind of like the crawl space I went into all the time when I lived at Concord Manor. Even after all these years, I missed Concord and hoped that one day I'd be able to go back there, even though I couldn't. When I got to the house, I went into the basement and turned on a lamp I had brought from my grandmother's house and waited patiently. I loved Fridays because it was the one day I'd be sure to get fucked real nasty. Sex with my boyfriend could get a little weak at times when he has shit on his mind, and today I needed a release. "Ain't you burning? Weren't you? Ain't you? You know you burning." There was an old couch and an old leather chair inside of the basement. I threw my book bag off, pulled my jeans down, followed by my panties. My pussy started itching badly, so I sat on the couch, opened my legs, and scratched it as hard as I could without making it too raw. There was a slight smell, too, but I didn't know what it was, and I figured I'd take a bath later to get rid of it. I had the strange itch for 15 days straight, and it was really starting to bother me. I had also developed strange sores on my hands and feet, and figured it was from allergies. But what was I allergic to? When I saw him pull up outside, get out of his car and look around, opened my legs wider and stretched out on the old couch. Hearing his footsteps made me anxious, but not because I liked him, but because I knew when I was done, I'd be satisfied sexually. Having sex was my way of giving back to the community. At least that was the way I looked at things. Having sex is also your way of giving STDs back to the community. When he walked down the steps, he said, "Damn, Shody, you ready for me already, ain't you?" He dropped his jeans and then his boxers like they were on fire. "I was actually getting ready to take care of myself," I lied. He liked to hear that kind of shit. "Oh, for real? Nah, I'm just playing," I giggled. My other appointment was in an hour, so I had to hurry. "What a do, cutie," he said. "You been here long?" To me, Krayshawn was real cute with a baby face and he was tall as shit. He always dressed good and smelled nice, too. "Ain't that her homegirls?" No. Paco was one of their boyfriends, but Krayshawn was Constance's boyfriend. Yeah, so while you talking shit about her talking to Brittany and all that shit, you fucking her best, you fucking her boyfriend and giving him the clap. Oh, boy. You know it's never long whenever I'm waiting on you. He smiled at me and stroked his dick to a thickness. You gonna suck it for me first? What you gonna give me if I do? I didn't need the money because I knew eventually Jace would be calling me back to make up. I used the money as an excuse to get what I really wanted. Fucked. But today, money could come in handy. I needed it to get some new gear and a bottle of vodka. Because you know I like to have nice things. How much you ask me for, Harmony? Just come out and say it. I need some clothes, Krayshawn, so I'm gonna need a lot. He looked at me like he could read me and say, how much is a lot? His jaw flexed a little. 200. Fuck, I can't give you 200, he yelled, his voice gruffer than before. I hated nickel and dime hustlers because they never had enough. I gotta give Constance some money to go shopping later, and I know you already know that. So she's more important to you than me? She's my girl, Harmony, and your friend. And Jace is your friend, too, but that don't seem to stop you from fucking his girlfriend, I said, raising one eyebrow and poking my lips out. Jace is my boss, not my friend. Do he know that? A smirk spread across my face. Shit between us is just business, he said seriously. Nothing more, nothing less. And if it was, I wouldn't even be fucking with you. You keep believing that shit, I laughed. I'm serious. Well, I wonder what he'd say if he knew what we'd do to each other in this house. He probably would have Tony Wop kill you or something. You know how hard he'd be tripping over me. Matter of fact, maybe I should call him. Silence. He grabbed me by the neck and I smiled. You can't hurt me. Nobody can hurt me. You real fucked up in the head, ain't you? The money. Give me the money. I can't do it, he said seriously. I can't give you $200 when I know you can ask your man. That nigga got way more bread than me. You know what? I said, gathering my clothes. If she's so much more important to you than me, then go fuck her instead. I'm out of here. I put back on my jeans and grabbed my panties. I knew he was going to stop me because there was no way in hell Constance could fuck him better than me. He and I both knew it. I was still faking my way back up the stairs when he said, wait. I turned around and placed my hands on my hips. Waiting ain't going to give you none of this good pussy, but money will. It ain't about the money, is it? I was shocked at his question. You just want to see how far I would go for you. What I'll be willing to give up. You know what? I said, trying to throw him off my trail. Maybe we shouldn't see each other no more. Shit is getting too serious anyway. The confidence was drained from his face. Why are you saying that? I just think we need to slow all the way down. Harmony, I was just fucking with you, he said, walking up to me, taking my panties out of my hand. You know I can't be without you. Then act like it, nigga. You could be cold as shit, Harmony. He reached in his pocket and pulled out $200. What I'm gonna tell Constance? I tucked my money in the pocket of my jeans. That's your problem, not mine, I told him. But in a minute, you're not about to give a fuck. I bent down, took him into my mouth, put a lot of spit on his dick, and gave him an extra sloppy blowjob. Spit ran down the sides of his dick, and I jerked him off simultaneously. Ah, damn, Harmony, do that shit, Krayshawn said. You like this, Daddy? I asked, looking up at him. You know I like that shit. Keep it nice and wet. More spit, baby. You taste so good. How in the fuck you learn to suck a dick like this? From my uncle. What? He said, looking down at me. Just playing. I continued giving him the business. He told me over and over how bad it was to have sex with Constance. How she wasn't as nasty as me. After I finished giving him a blowjob to die for, I bent over and let him feel my wet pussy. He was falling deep and I loved it. I love feeling needed. Out of all the things Uncle Charles told me, he was right about sex. It was so much easier to control people when you had something they wanted. I still don't understand how that nigga got out of jail. I don't. He murdered his daughter. I don't know how he's out. It makes no sense. I wanted to make sure every time Krayshawn left me that he remembered the difference between me and Constance. I could not be forgotten or mistaken for another bitch when I had been fucking all my life. It's not a bonus. Krayshawn? Yes, baby, he said with his eyes rolling up in the back of his head. I don't want you to love her more than me. I want you to be all mine. You know I'm about to leave Jace soon, right? Like we talked about? Yes, baby. But you got to make more money first so we can be good. You got to be able to take care of me. I can't wait, girl, he said, fucking me harder. Even if he was lying, for the minute it felt good to be wanted. I hate stringing Connie along when I don't even fuck with her like that. I love you. I love you too, I said, feeling an orgasm coming over me. Whenever a man begged, I mean really begged, it was such a fucking turn on. It didn't take me much longer after that to bust my cum all over his dick. He gripped me tighter and filled my pussy with his nut. And just like that, I was done, and so was the fantasy that I would be leaving Jace for him. Besides, right or wrong, Constance was my friend, and I wasn't going to give up our friendship for a public relationship with Krayshawn. And what about Jace? Nah, he could never have me on a solo tip. When he was taken care of, I put on my clothes, gave him a kiss on the cheek, and rushed to my next rendezvous. I met him in the same place every Friday too, in his car, behind a row shopping center. So when I saw his white van, I got inside and we pulled close to the trash can. We both looked around to make sure nobody was looking, and I eased my jeans off. You were late today, he told me with an unexpected crinkly grin. I thought you wasn't trying to fuck or something. You know that ain't it, I smiled. You been fucking somebody else, he asked me. Other than Jace? Paco, what difference does it make? We together now. God, dog. Like, okay. Yeah, okay. What's up with you? He was blowing the hell out of me. I moved a little in my seat and said, Paco, what's up with you? You acting kind of weird. He smiled and said, why are you always so horny? I ain't never met a chick like you who had to do it all the time. I hated this question. I hated that he kept asking me. I didn't know I was so horny all the time. I didn't understand why I felt the need to be sexual. I didn't understand a lot of shit about myself. You know what? I gotta go, I said, moving from my jeans. He laughed and said, I'm just fucking with you. Then he took the jeans out of my hand and put them back on the car floor. I had a long couple days. What happened? I said, although for real, all I wanted was sex. Unlike Krayshawn, Paco loved to tell me about what was going on with Jace and business. I knew more about the business than Jace thought I did. Paco sighed a little and said, you and Jace still not talking? He avoided my question. No, I sighed, and he's not answering my calls. So for real, I don't even want to talk about him. But what happened with you? Why are you out of it? He looked at me and said, your boy Callie went crazy and did some shit that may get us all late. Like what? He looked me over and said, what you mix with? What? I said, what you mix with? Black. I mean, my mother was light-skinned and mixed with white, but I'm not mixed with too much of nothing, I don't think. I said, rubbing his dick in his jeans. Why? You look Spanish. Especially your hair and stuff. I heard that all the time, and my answer was always the same. I was what I was, and that was pretty much it. So what did Callie do? I said, stroking the hardness. He looked at me, and I knew he was trying to tell if he could trust me or not. He kidnapped a kid. The one who's been on the news all the time? The one that's missing from school. The girl from Nally? Yeah. I knew Callie could be crazy, but this was different. Tripp just told me about that today, I said. Whenever I mentioned Tripp's name, he always got uneasy. I could never tell if they were really feeling each other or not. You don't be talking about me with her, do you? Not so much. Look, I don't want you telling nobody about the shit with Callie either. This between you and me, okay? Got it, I smiled. So, do you want to keep talking or do what we came to do? I climbed in the back seat and let him bang me from the back. My pussy felt so raw and itchy that I started to change my mind. But all I thought about was sex. Sex when I was eating, sex when I went to sleep, sex when I woke up. So I let myself go and didn't stop till I came, and it felt so fucking good. When we were done and he busted off of my pussy too, I had him drop me off at Landover Mall. I was there for 2 hours and I burned the mall down. I bought 5 cute shirts, 2 pairs of Liz Claiborne blue jeans, a new crimping iron, and 2 bottles of hairspray. My hair was soft and long, so I had to put extra spray in it to keep the crimps from falling out. I was going to look too cute for the cookout tomorrow, even though I was so broke, I didn't have enough money to catch a cab home. But I hitchhiked a ride and within 15 minutes, I was home. When I was home, I took the bags in the house and hid them for my grandmother. I was going to hit her up for some money too, and I didn't want her to know what I had gotten from other folks. With my gear in order, Now I was going to have to get some money from somebody else for a bottle. The doorknob was in my hand and I was almost out the door when the phone rang. It was Constance. Girl, he fucking cheating on me. I can't believe it. I told you I didn't trust Krayshawn's ass. What I'ma do? She cried. He gonna dump me. Why do you say that? I sighed. I wish he hurried the fuck up. I just fucked two niggas back to back and I needed a drink. Cause you know that ain't the case. He will never cheat on you, girl. It is true, she yelled. Number one, he never came to my aunt's house, and when he finally called me later, he said he didn't have the money for me anymore. I don't know what to do if we not together. I thought you said it was all about the money. So if he ain't giving it to you, get another nigga. You know I was just talking shit. If he leaves me, Harmony, I'ma kill myself. Don't do that, girl. He ain't worth it. I paused. But look, I'm about to roll. I'ma hit you when I get back. I slammed the phone down and shook the call off. I realized I probably sounded insensitive, but if I didn't get something to drink, I was gonna blow. Plus, she was bringing me down and I didn't need it. Why should I care about her feelings when I have feelings and needs of my own? I needed someone to want me all the time, and it's too bad that one of the people who does that for me happens to be her boyfriend. After I got off the phone, I went back outside and fanned a few fat ass bugs out of my face. I hate fucking cicadas. Every 17 years, them big ass bugs hatch and start bothering niggas. What's their purpose anyway? All they do is roam around, make noise, leave wings all over the street, and irritate the hell out of me. So, they literally do it every 17 years. So, does that mean that you only get hit up every 17 years? Or does that mean that it happens every year because one of them hatched an egg and that egg took 17 years to progress? But the next year, something that was born off of that one came out and it lived for 17 years. Like, I always got confused about that. You know what? I'm going to just look it up. I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking to y'all niggas. Y'all don't even fucking know. Y'all probably don't even look at that either. Y'all just fucking hate them too and don't even know why. Hold on. According to Quora.com, because that's where somebody asked the question, why do cicadas come out every 17 years? The answer is, there are different subspecies of cicadas. But for this question, I'll be talking about the ones that come out every 17 years. It's common for people to think they sleep all the time, that they just disappear into thin air and won't be seen for another 17 years. It's actually much simpler than that. An adult cicada only lives for about 4 weeks. In those weeks, they continuously mate. The females will lay about 600 eggs on trees and feast on the sap and leaves until their bodies fall to the ground lifeless. Those eggs will then hatch. The young cicada, instead of eating the leaf they emerge from like caterpillars, will instead fall to the ground. What they do is bury themselves underneath the soil. And so, they live underneath our feet for 17 years, making tunnels, foraging for food, etc. It takes 17 years for those little fellows to finally mature into an adult, in which they then dig their way back to the surface and the life cycle starts all over again. Now, scientists don't fully understand why cicadas stay underground for so long. The common theory is so they can avoid predators while they're still young. It's really fascinating. Because there's so many of them, easily millions of cicada adults, the predators will easily become full and stuffed, looking for an easy snack. That way, the ones who weren't eaten have a successful chance of escaping or producing eggs. And this is all without harming their species' chance of survival. So, 17 years, I don't know. It doesn't really answer the question for me. I feel completely unsatisfied. Like, I think it's stupid and weird, but, you know, oh, I guess this is a good place to go. No stupid questions on Reddit. Huh, watch this. 6. That's a stupid question, because it's not even a question. So if you ever hear somebody say there's no such thing as stupid questions, say, you know what, though? I heard one time the stupidest question ever, and they'll be like, what? And you could say, this guy said 6. Exactly. If cicadas only come out once every 17 years, then why do I hear them every year? And how do they come out every 17 years? Where do they go? And if they're not actually out right now, then what's in the trees going? I've never heard a cicada before. I don't know what fucking sounds they make. Get the fuck out of my face. There are several different brood of cicadas. Only some have a 17-year cycle, like brood X and brood are Brood 10 and Brood 8. It says Brood X and Brood VII, and then I realized what VII, what the fuck they meant. Bet you didn't think you'd get science here, people. Ha, I'm multifaceted. Anyhow, there are some that emerge each year. Some have a 2-year cycle, 13-year cycle, 17-year cycle, and others in between. They don't all emerge at the same time. The Brood 10 cicadas, one of the 13-year ones, are mostly over for this year. There are other groups just emerging now. Some will emerge in August and some in September. They're all different groups. They don't go anywhere. All the cicadas that emerge this year are dead or dying. They laid a bunch of eggs. Those eggs hatch and the nymphs bury themselves near plant tree roots. They hang out there underground, sucking on liquids from tree roots and growing until this time comes, until the time comes that they can emerge, have sex, lay eggs, and die. Okay? Okay? You got it? Good. Also, another stupid question. You ready? Here's another stupid question. Herger Burger. That's a stupid question, right? Exactly. Yeah, that's what I thought. Herger Burger. Himmel Bimmel. Like, what? Anyways. I hate fucking cicadas. Every 17 years, them big-ass bugs hatch and start bothering niggas. What's their purpose, anyway? All they do is roam around, make noise, leave wings all over the street, and irritate the hell out of me. They actually sound like you. All they do is have sex. I'm just saying. If you ask me, they remind me of the bitches at my high school, walking around all day swinging their hair and teasing boys. If that's your thing, cool, but don't get mad at me when I put out. Unlike them bitches, I got a 5-year pussy plan to fuck Jason till he can't get enough, have the son he wants, and be set up for the rest of my life. On the way to the liquor store, I got a couple dollars from one of Jace's friends. I was on my way to get a pint of vodka from A&B Liquors on the corner because they didn't bother me about my age. After I bought my liquor and drank half of it, I saw two chicks I kicked it with from time to time standing on the corner. One called herself Nut and the other Cherry, and nobody knew their real names or even cared. They fucked for money, and as far as I knew, they were good at it. Cherry was dark-skinned, short, petite, and real pretty. But what I always noticed about her was her wide eyes and naturally long lashes. The funniest thing about her were her parents. Them motherfuckers cussed each other out every day. I think because of it, Cherry's used to drama and loves a man who beats her. At least that's what I hear anyway. Nut has a honey complexion, but she's real tall and shapely. She wears honey-colored contact lenses and her hair in a golden brown bob. I don't know much about her past except that she was raised in foster homes. What's good, Spanish Fly? Cherry said, smoking a cigarette. She was talking to me, but looking at the cars behind me, waiting for a trick to pull up. You ready to come out here and make some money? I told y'all, I'm not Spanish, and I'm good on the money tip. Jace takes care of me, so I'm gonna leave that raunchy shit to you. They both laughed. Jace takes care of you, huh? Cherry smirked. Yeah, why you say that? I frowned. Because we be seeing him riding around with another girl in his new car all the time, Nut added. My stomach felt like bowling balls were in it, and I was off balance. A new car, I repeated. Yeah, and a new girl to go with it. They both laughed. I didn't. Stop lying, I said. You always starting shit. I ain't Spanish Fly, Nut said. You gotta believe what makes you sleep better at night. But it's like I told you. You've been getting a rep for yourself around the hood. You better slow down if you want to keep your little boyfriend. Yeah, that might be why you got a new broad, Cherry added. This from a girl who'd been selling pussy on the corner, I said. Yeah, but I know who I am and what I do, she said. Besides, ain't shit wrong with selling pussy. Then Nut grabbed the paper bag out of my hand and drank the rest of my vodka. I thought about the two dicks I had sucked today and smiled. I am what I am, and niggas who need my services respect that. But when you throw that thing around for no reason like you be doing with these little niggas around here, people don't know where you're coming from. So they can't trust you. And if they can't trust you, they can't respect you. First of all, this bitch made me mad by drinking the last of my liquor that was supposed to last me for the rest of the day. Second of all, I was tired of people talking about me when for real, they didn't know shit about me. Can you please tell me why you just drank my shit, Nut? Cause ain't shit free over here, including schooling young bitches on the game. Cause raunchy or not, sooner or later we have to all know who we are and why we do the things we do. For us, it's about the money. For you, it's something else. And sooner or later, you have to figure out what it is. You better listen, Spanish Fly, Cherry laughed. I was still salty about my liquor when a man in a white Ford pulled up. Wearing thick-rimmed black glasses, he looked like shit. He kept wiping his head with a paper towel and his eyes moved to the left and right rapidly. I knew right away that he was off. Roger, what you doing here this early? Cherry said, walking up to the car. You usually come at night. Something ain't right, Nut said out of earshot of Cherry. We kept looking at the car suspiciously, but hung back a little. Why you say that? If you're here to give her money, what difference does it make what time he comes? I whispered to Nut. You don't understand. Roger's ass is different. How? He likes to wait until she's fucked at least 5 niggas, which is usually at night, so he can lick her pussy afterwards. He don't even like to fuck her. Just jerks off while he doing it. What the fuck? Both Cherry and Roger looked over at me and I covered my mouth. Nut, I'm about to roll out with Roger real quick. I'll be right back, Cherry said, walking towards us. Oh no, Cherry. Something don't feel right with him today. He looked kind of off. We all looked at him, and he kept patting his head with a paper towel. But sweat still poured down his face, and he was looking all around him. He was acting like someone was out to get him. Girl, he always looked weird. I'll be fine, she laughed. Plus, you know Roger paid good money. We only going up the block. I'll be back. She jumped into the car and pulled off, but Nut kept her eye on the car until they turned into an alley and it was out of view. You okay? I asked her. You think you gonna hurt her or something? What? She snapped. Ugh. I said, are you okay? Yeah, and stop getting into grown folks' business. Her eyes remained in the direction Cherry went. Grown folks? I laughed. First of all, we talking about whoring. And second of all, you're only 4 years older than me. So how is that grown folks' business? I'm still older than you, she told me. I was about to respond when people started screaming from up the block. It was in the direction Cherry and Roger went in. I wondered where all the commotion was coming from until I saw a crowd form. All of a sudden, Cherry came limping out of the alley, holding her hand between her legs. Blood poured from her body and she looked shocked. Then Roger barreled out the alley in his car, almost hitting 2 kids riding bikes in the process. We both ran up to Cherry, who walked a few feet before falling on the ground. When Nut reached her, she got on the ground and held her closely. I'd never seen them this upset before, and I could tell that these two whores had more love between each other than my own mother had for me. I told you not to trust them, Nut cried out through her tears. Why you ain't listen to me? She lifted Cherry's head and placed it in her lap. Somebody called an ambulance, she screamed to nobody in particular. Already did. They on their way, an older black man yelled. Is she okay? Nut ignored him and said, what happened, Sasha? What'd he do to you, huh? Did that sick bitch shoot you? At first, I thought she said the wrong name until I saw she was looking dead into her eyes. Go figure. Cherry's real name was Sasha. Cherry looked like she was about to pass out as blood exited her body. I think he cut my pussy with a blade or something. You think I'm gonna die? I don't want to die. We both looked at each other in horror as the ambulance pulled up. They put Cherry on a gurney, and Nut jumped in without saying goodbye to me. That was a whole lot of action for one day. I was left walking home by myself with no liquor and a fucked up picture in my mind of Cherry with a lot of blood over her body. My mind was racing in the heat when a new white Beamer with paper tags pulled up on the side of me. The music pumped from the stereo system, and the tinted window rolled down. Harmony, let me holler at you for a minute, asked Jace. He parked on the curb and I tried my best not to jump all over his dick. Shit, he just got a red Audi a few months ago and now he was pushing a Beamer. Why you ain't been answering my calls, Jace? Get in the car, money. As the years went by, he got cuter, and it didn't hurt that his father Rick, who lived in Los Angeles, put him on in a major way. He didn't see his father regularly, and his mother died when he was a baby. She was stabbed while breastfeeding him in a public park in L.A. When they found her slumped over, Jace was under her body with her breasts in his face. He almost suffocated to death. Still, Jace is the kind of nigga who no matter what, when he came into a room, you had to turn around and look at him. And Shirley gave me one piece of advice that I thought made sense. She said, Harmony, never get with a man who looks better than you. Get an ugly man, one who will love you more than he does himself. That way he'll never leave you. And although I hated her with a passion, I took that message to heart. I walked over to his car and said, you gonna give me a ride home? He smiled, leaned over, opened his car door and said, stop fucking around and get in. I ran my fingers through my long black hair, wiped the sweat off my forehead, and onto my ripped acid-washed jeans. Then I strutted smoothly towards his car and got inside. I felt nasty after having sex with Paco and Krayshawn and needed a shower, so I hoped he didn't want to fuck. Usually we have makeup sex after we broke up, but that would have to wait today. "Why you look like you've been up to something?" he asked me. I wondered if he could see my day's nastiness, and I tried to look innocent. "I just came from hanging out with Nut and Cherry in front of A&B, and one of Cherry's John stabbed her between the legs. It was a mess." "Why are you with them anyway? I thought I told you I didn't want you hanging out with them no more." "I don't hang with them, Jace," I said, irritated. Knowing he could care less about them, I said, "So what's up? Why you ain't been answering my calls? And who is this girl I hear you running around with?" The cool air from the air conditioner dried my sweaty face. "You too moody, and I'm sick of that shit." "Jace, I'm not moody. I just be having a lot of shit on my mind." Silence. "I'm moving to Los Angeles for a while, so I'm trying to make shit right with you before I leave. I don't know how long I'm going to be gone for either. I got some shit to take care of." I swallowed hard, my eyes widened. My breaths were quick, and I felt jittery. Was I losing my boyfriend like this? "Does this have something to do with the girl y'all kidnapped the other day?" He stopped driving, threw the car in park, and looked over at me. "What you talking about?" I was so scared about losing him to L.A. that I hadn't thought about the most important point. That I wasn't supposed to know about the kidnapping. My mouth had gotten me in trouble, and I couldn't lie because it was too far-fetched for me to mention the kidnapped girl. And most of all, that he was involved. I had to think quickly. Baby, I want to tell you something, but I don't want you to get mad. Harmony, who told you about a kidnapped girl? Some police came to my house today and asked me if I knew anything about a kidnapping. I think they're investigating you or something. They wouldn't tell me, though. What's going on? I tried to look into his eyes, but he was wearing a pair of dark Versace shades. What'd you say? Nothing, because I don't know nothing. Look, if they visit you again, call me. I'm going to be at your house later on to pick you up. I got to handle some shit right now, though. Jace, is it over? I asked when we got to my house. We both glanced over to see Callie standing by my door, waiting. It was so normal to see him at my house that I don't think Jace thought too much of it. Callie and me were cool before Jace even became my boyfriend. But there was something in Jace's eyes that told me that today something was different. I figured it involved the kidnapping. How close are you two? Who, me and Callie? Who you think I'm talking about? We pretty cool, but ain't nothing going on if that's what you mean. I don't know if I'm all the way good with you keeping time with one of my friends. I love this jealousy. You want me to stop talking to him or something? As I was talking to him, he was looking at Callie. Eventually, he walked over to the driver's side window and said, "What's up, Jace? Everything cool?" "Harmony, let me rap to him for a minute." "Okay, I love you," I said. When I walked to the house, I walked slowly. I wanted to hear as much as I could before he pulled off. "Did you mention anything to anybody?" Jace asked him. "Nah, why?" Both of them looked at me and said, "We'll rap about that later. But don't forget to meet them people I asked you to meet later. Page me when you're done and I'll scoop you up." "Bet," Callie said, backing away from the car. "And you better be ready in a couple hours," he told me. I hope Jace didn't mention me knowing about the kidnapping of Paco because he would go completely off. How could I be so fucking stupid? When I walked towards my house, Callie walked with me and we watched Jace pull off before he gave us one last look. Callie and me had a weird relationship because he was like a bodyguard to me. But his heart and soul belonged to Cherry. Even he got cuter over the years, but he was still an average dude. Callie lost most of his baby fat and had a honey-colored complexion with really dark eyes. They resembled black marbles. "What you and Jace talking about?" he asked out of nowhere. "What?" His question was weird. Was he talking about me? Or blaming me for something like he always do? His eyes got wild like Roger's. "Callie, you tripping now. I'm about to go inside." Like a light switched off, he said, "Well, you need anything before I leave?" He always asked me the same question, and there were plenty of times I ran him all around town when I had the munchies. "Can you buy me a bottle of vodka from A&B? "Yeah. But before you go in, I gotta ask you something." "What?" "If something were to happen to Jace, would you be cool?"
916-633-1537. Wretched and Ratchet at gmail.com. Ratchet Book Club on Twitter. Ratchet Book Club on Facebook.
You can leave a review on Spotify. It takes like 13 seconds. You can also leave a review on Podchaser. Copy and paste that into Apple Podcasts. And then copy and paste that into the Good Pods app. You can donate to the show at patreon.com/singlesimulcast. $1 will get you a ton of content. You can also donate to the show at buymeacoffee.com/sscast or on the Good Pods app. You can leave a tip in the tip jar. Thank you so much for listening. I greatly appreciate it. Y'all be good. I'm going to holler at you later. Peace. Intro and outro to Ratchet Book Club is by That Kid Garan, and it's called Goodbyes. You can email him at tkgbeats94@gmail.com for more information on how to lease this beat.
This is Single Simulcast. Don't know by now that you slipped.